This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugar coating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Primetime with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
What it do?
Ahoy.
What is up? How's everybody today?
Oh, I'm just ready to sports on this sportsiest of sports days.
No, it's really not.
No.
Now, two things.
This is one of the dead. It's like, it's not the deadest time of the year, but this is up there where you look around and you're like, well,
there's not a lot going on, but in sports, there's always something going on.
Sure.
So you should listen to us at all times.
You got Wimbledon happening.
Huddle around the radio. Well, it's actually kind of cool to me that Wimbledon is going to feature Nadal, Federer, and Djokovic.
Because they're the only three tennis players that you know?
Yeah.
Well, Andy Murray, so you got four.
Andy Murray still plays?
Andy Murray still plays. He's in a...
Andy Roddick out there?
Andy Roddick is not out there. In fact, old Murray there is playing with Serena in the doubles, although they got bounced.
Aww.
It was their first time like playing together.
Well, anyway, I think it's cool that those three are in the final four.
Sure. I saw the big news out of Wimbledon was...
and the fourth guy, some Spaniard.
Was it... Who just got married? Is it Markle? Meghan Markle? She got married to Prince Henry?
I think
Henry?
It's Merkel.
Merkel?
Yeah.
She wore jeans.
I think it's Markle.
Is it Markle?
I think so, yeah.
Meghan Markle.
That one.
She wore jeans?
You know of who I speak.
I picture her. She's beautiful.
She wore jean capris, and that apparently is right out.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Do whatever she wants.
Well, apparently people aren't happy
about
it. No.
No, she cannot.
And then she only stayed for the Serena Williams match, and apparently that is a faux pas because she should watch Andy Murray, who's, he's a Brit. I read that today. It was like a whole thing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That was the kind of sports day it was that I actually clicked on that story. You know, you do your show prep and you're kind of scrolling through and you're like, God, I'm like, sure.
It's
like
digging deep.
Someone's pissed at Wimbledon. Sure. Click on it.
Who's the guy? Piers Morgan.
Yeah.
He's British, right?
Yeah. He's always pissed about something.
He's like super Brit guy.
Yeah.
He was mad at Meghan Markle. Yeah. Markle.
Markle.
Yeah.
I looked it up.
Yeah. He was mad at her about something. Was this the same thing?
I think this might have been the same thing.
He's mad at everybody about everything.
He's
just pissed that he was the one that was mad about the teacup celebration. And
why is he such a big deal?
I don't know. I don't know what he does anymore, but he replaced Larry King, and that lasted all of like a year.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. He was the Larry King replacement.
Boy, what a disaster that was.
Yeah, it didn't go so well. And now he's just like, you can exist in the media world by just being like a hot take a-hole. I mean,
being loud and pissed off.
Yeah.
Good point.
I wonder sometimes how much of that is legit, but I do think it's a skill. Like we've talked about this.
It's a skill to be pissed off.
Well, I think a lot of it is fake. Like I can't fake that kind of outrage. Like if you told me that I had to come on the air and be pissed at whoever, right? If I had to be pissed about the New York Knicks, which Stephen A. Smith is always losing it, or if I had to be upset at the U.S. women's soccer team for a celebration, or Megan Rapinoe, she's taking heat today, but I guess she did a funny walk. She did a funny walk out of their celebration, and there was like a little girl with her, and so people are upset about that. Like if I had to come on and yell and be angry, I do not have that in me. I would feel like such a douche.
Sucker.
But I would feel like a sucker or a jive turkey. But the Piers Morgans of the world or the Stephen A. Smiths,
they're fired up.
They can do that. I don't know how much of that is legit or if it's a shtick, but I don't know. I mean,
I don't either.
It gets them get some views and get some jobs.
Less hate, man.
Less hate, man.
No, more hate.
Yeah, more hate gets you. Well, okay, so we were talking about this on the golf course the other day.
Yeah.
It is possible that I have never been offended.
Really?
Yeah.
Ever?
Yeah, because, like, I've been pissed off and angry and bothered or hurt or, I mean, all these emotions. But we were trying to define what exactly is the difference between all of that and offended, like truly offended.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's possible that I've never been offended by anything.
Wow.
Ever.
I think that's better than me. Well, you were gone, but I made the bold proclamation. It was National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day while you were gone.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I was doing the show with my brother, and I thought about it, and I came to the conclusion that I have never baked a cookie of any kind in my life. And my brother was floored by
that. That's not so shocking.
That's why I was
Why is that shocking?
You see, finally, some people around. I took so much heat. Like people were killing me for that.
Really?
For having never baked your own cookie?
I've never baked a cookie in my life.
I don't think I've ever baked a cookie in my life.
I've never baked anything in my life.
Thank you. Finally, some reasonable human beings. I was murdered that day for it.
Wow.
I was like, wow. I was trying to think of like the last hot, like
I've had fresh baked cookies,
sure.
But they were not baked by me.
Doubletree yeah. Hotel, man.
Yeah. I don't bake a cookie.
They're so good.
Why would I bake it when someone else is baking it for me? But like you said that, like you've never been offended. I was trying to think of something that I had never done. And that's what popped into my head is I've never baked a cookie, but I've been,
offended.
Been
but see, that's what I'm saying.
You think I have.
Right there. You said, I think I, what does it mean to be truly offended?
Well, I was thinking, cause I told you.
Because this, I'm not saying I've never been offended. I'm saying it's possible that I've never been offended because I just don't get it. Point being, we're talking about Piers Morgan or all these jerks.
Yeah.
I don't get worked up about mainly things I can't control or things that, I don't know, just the way other people get worked up. Sometimes I feel like I have a missing gene.
Well, now, being offended and reacting those people and being offended and just feeling bad about are two different things.
Right.
Are you
so that's what I'm
about never being offended. And now you're like, wow, is there something wrong with me?
I don't want to be offended. I'm happy about it. I'm happy that I'm not one of these people that's always offended by everything or always pissed off. I'm happy about that. But I'm trying to define what it truly means. What does it feel like to be truly offended?
Well, the first thing that popped into my mind, when I was
opposed to hurt or whatever.
Yeah. So I told the story about how I was banned from Chevy's, the now defunct Mexican restaurant, because one of the waiters there, he used a racial slur towards my wife and daughter. And I put his head into a plate of food. But was I offended or was I angry? Like, well, she was offended.
Probably both.
But I'm not Asian. So, I mean, the slur wasn't directed at me. So is that me being offended or is that me being was I just pissed?
I think you were probably offended.
Was I offended?
Yeah.
And then I had a good friend of mine, husband and wife team. And they said when they first met me, they thought that I was abusing my wife.
Whoa.
I think I was offended by that.
That is pretty
offensive.
That
is pretty offensive.
I was like trying to think of a time that I was offended. They told me that like 5 years and we were really good friends to this day. We're good friends. And they told me that. They're like, yeah, when I first met you, like I just was convinced that like you were beating your wife.
Why
I was
is
like,
that?
Oh my God. Well, she had a lot of autoimmune disorders. And so she was sick a lot and she would get like bruises and, you know, she was very small and dainty. And so, they thought that was me. They thought that like the bruises and like the fact that she was always, you know, like sometimes she had a hard time walking, like she'd be in pain. She assumed that it was me. She said like that I was.
Well, look at you.
That I was a wife beater. I was like, holy hell. Like that, I remember being legitimately, like I brushed it off.
Okay, so what was that?
But I was offended.
Okay, so what was that like? What do you feel?
I was like,
how does that feel?
I was like, where the hell do you get off? Like, really? Like I come across as like a wife beater?
It feels like a personal attack.
Yeah.
I feel like being offended.
So you weren't hurt.
It feels like you're being attacked. Something that you care about that's not true or that you feel is unjust.
Okay.
I get offended. There's one thing I get offended about, honestly, and it's something, and it happens quite a bit. It's that. It's when I get, because of the way I look, I get pegged either as a white supremacist or, you know, some sort of like same story that I've told before. Lady, backcountry road, flat tire, tried to pull over, and I was like, yeah, you're not gonna have self service up here. It was in between La Center and Woodland. I was gonna change her tire, and the lady freaked out. just lost it on me. Same sort of thing. I was like, I'm trying to do something nice, but you're looking at me and assuming that like I'm going to murder you. Like that stuff bothers me. And I'm not hurt by it. I am offended by it. And that does happen on a somewhat regular basis. Like if an old lady in my neighborhood crosses the street when I'm walking, I'm like, God, really? That's what I'm doing, ma'am. I'm moving here. You know I live right there, but I'm just going to throw it all away to assault you on the sidewalk. Right. Thumbs up.
I can see how that would be offensive.
That happens to me a bunch, and it offends me.
I don't have that. Now, we are, you know, like somebody's saying, it's white privilege. And there is an element of truth to that. You know, it's like you just, I mean, white male, you're going to be offended less. You have a lot less to be offended by.
People say
that's very true.
I don't want to say less offensive things as in they are less offensive, but fewer offensive things to white males. Yes.
Yeah. So the difference between being put down and like your feelings hurt and being offended is the offense, being offended has a little bit more rage to it. Like F you, like, so it's not pissed. It's not feelings hurt. It's offended. It's a combination of those two things, well, being pissed and feelings hurt.
I think the combination is your feelings are hurt because someone said something that is a stereotype or untrue.
Yes.
That caused your feelings to get hurt. Someone could say something that is true, although it hurts your feelings, and you're like, oh, well, that really sucks.
Now, Suk is saying based on his personal appearance, which I totally can see being offended, but even like things that people say about us just knowing us as radio hosts, I don't get offended because they don't know me.
Yeah.
They only know of what I say on the show or my persona on the show. So, you know, I mean, you don't know. I mean, just shut, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But it is different, I would think, you know, being placed in the white supremacist box. I don't often get that.
No. it happens to me on a,
kind of offended when girls don't want me.
That's why you're like, hey, look at,
because I'm like,
this.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Hey, like, what?
This total package here. But yeah, it doesn't happen all the time, but it does happen on a fairly regular basis. And you would think by now, after all these years, it wouldn't bother me. It wouldn't get under my skin. It wouldn't offend me, but it does.
All right.
I've been offended for religious stuff. People who say negative things about Jewish people. I mean, that offends me if it's directed at me.
Oh, yes. The anti-Semites.
Yeah.
See, it helps to not be religious.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I mean, that's, I mean, how many times have you, when people, you know, it's not like people look at you and they're like, oh, he's Jewish. And someone says an off-colored remark, you know, about something. I'm sure that is something that very few people that aren't Jewish can relate to about.
Right.
That.
I mean, there were things that became part of normal everyday language, like, that started being said and thrown around, and that started to kind of offend me and piss me off because it's not true. But it's just like when people start saying it over and over and over again and they think it's normal, you're like, wait a minute.
Sure.
Hey.
But this person's right. He said, in this day and age, people are more thin-skinned than ever before. Yes. I believe I believe that's 100% true.
That or they're the same. It's just that we now see their thin-skinned ways because everyone has a social media account or accounts.
Well, and I think people are actually being called out on it because – I mean, look, if
called out on what?
Well, if we being a-holes, like I'm asking where the white power rankings go.
Whoa, Jason, you said that.
Some of it, apparently I'm high on it. Some of it is, yes, people being thin-skinned, but you hear more of it because some of this stuff is legit. Because if we rewind this thing, you know, 20, 30, 40, certainly if you go back 50 years, you know, when before you had the civil rights movement, then, yeah, people would just go around and you could say whatever you wanted. Right. People would throw out the N-word, or it wasn't that long ago. Even growing up, I heard people throwing out anti-Semitic stuff all the time, and it just wasn't viewed the same way now. So I actually think in some ways society has gotten better where we're saying, hey, by the way, not OK, a-hole. Right. The whole Me Too movement. It's not OK to treat people like that. So in one way, it's really gotten a lot better. But then on the other hand, I think we've taken real instances where you should be offended and people should be called to the carpet. And we've now gone so far the other direction with that, that anybody does anything, whether it's intentional or not, then we all get pissed and then everyone freaks out and we want to call for someone's job. And, you know, to me, it's all about intent, right? If someone says something and they're not trying to be a racist, you're not trying to be a bigot, you're not trying to offend someone, there was just a misunderstanding. You said something, you didn't fully understand the meaning behind it. And as long as that person is contrite and is like, oh man, I'm sorry about that. We should all live and learn. But yeah, we should call people out when someone is openly, you know, trying to throw someone else underneath the old bus.
I agree. There is hot offended talk for you guys.
Yes. All because Piers Morgan was
always offended.
Yeah, he's pissed about something.
But can you imagine what that would be like? Just always.
It's an awful life.
Always pissed, always offended.
Yeah. I mean, you make a lot of money. I'm sure he's got a good life. You know, he drives a nice car and, you know, got an apartment and all that. But he just walks around all day angry. It just seems like a miserable way to go through life.
Well, you know, it's that time of year where I'm looking at my notes here and I see several rankings. It's a ranking time.
We have to rank things.
Yeah, today we will rank the NFL coaches because I saw. Well, it's actually kind of interesting because I saw a list. Somebody put together a list of the NFL coaches ranked, and my one takeaway is there aren't a lot of great NFL coaches.
No, but I will tell you this.
And we'll talk about that.
I think the king of the hill in the NFL, I think there's a greater distance between him and everyone else than there is in any other sport. I mean, he sits alone, and I don't think it's close.
Yep.
As far as current coaches go,
John Gruden.
Yeah.
You're right.
He's the man. I was going to say Jay Gruden, but, you know.
We will rank the best board games today.
Really? Board games? That's...
That came out of nowhere.
Yeah, I was... What? Why board games?
Because it's important.
Oh, I just did list last weekend. I played the $25,000 pyramid, the home version of it. Loved it.
It's just the way you dropped it in.
Yeah.
We're going to rank the best board games today.
Yeah, come on. NFL head coaches, and I was waiting for, like, what was next. What? I was like, Summer League, and then, like, you hit
Summer
me.
Summer League?
You hit me with,
dude.
Best board games.
Board games are way more important than Summer League basketball.
True. And Monopoly better not be at the top of anyone's list.
Well, Monopoly. It's going to get heated.
Monopoly is enjoyable, but it is also rage-inducing.
It's enjoyable for 25 minutes tops. 25.
We have the greatest sports power couples. Because, you know, Team USA has a pair of power couples.
Yeah, it actually does. I was like, wait, who's the second? Oh, yeah.
The Ertzes.
Yeah, the Ertzes.
Rapinoe and Bird.
Yeah.
Rapinoe and Bird. And then the Ertzes, Julie and Zach Ertz.
Hey, don't say her name wrong.
Why?
Well, you see, the head of the soccer, whatever. What is our?
The U.S. Soccer Federation.
U.S. Soccer Federation.
Oh, no. Said Rapinoe.
Yeah, yep. He screwed it up.
I think that's why she did the weird walk, because she got up all like,
wait, the
really?
Head of the whole, of the U.S.?
Yes.
Soccer Federation pronounced Megan Rapinoe's name after they won the World Cup and all that cool stuff.
Yes. The most famous soccer player, woman soccer player in the world.
The head of the U.S. that runs the U.S.
Pulled a Roger Goodell.
Rapinoe.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
And she did the weird, she put her hands out like,
dude,
really?
Yeah. How does this happen? That is absolutely the most fascinating thing we'll get to all day.
Yeah.
Well, to me.
Let's compile the audio. It's
yes, I'm going to need to hear that.
It's spectacular. I mean, it's another drop. I mean, it's right there with Roger.
I mean, if that's like one word has totally
Mariotto
and 100% exposed you.
Yeah.
Because you don't know that. You know what that means? Who is it, a female or male?
It was a male.
He doesn't watch them. He doesn't know them. He doesn't. If he knew.
It's bad.
He would know how to pronounce a name, right? Yeah. Like, just living in Portland because she played at UP, you knew it was Rapinoe. Now, I get the people that would say Rapinoe just off the surface, but he's the head of the U.
She's kind of a big deal.
Flabbergasted.
I think we finally found something that you're
not offended. I'm stunned.
We found something that you are offended by.
I'm not offended because it's not me. I don't care. But I am stunned. I am floored by that.
Yeah, people are saying on the text program, Better You Today text line.
Guess what?
Rob sounds offended.
Here we go again. People are idiots. Not all of you. Some of you, though. Odds to win. Here's what we're going to start with, though. Odds to win the Pac-12 are out, and the other leagues.
Yeah, next. Because there are other, you know, it's not just the Pac-12. Yeah.
We'll do that next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. I have peeled my head off of the carpet. It was sewn to the carpet. I was so stunned by this Megan Rapinoe news.
Rapinoe?
Well, somebody said there's an update person on our station that mispronounces it. Really? Again, are we comparing an update person? And you should probably know, but at the same time, we're comparing that person to the head of U.S. soccer?
Well, I'll tell you right now, just because this is fantastic, I'm putting this right in the category of the Willametta, the Deschutes, and now Megan Rapinoe.
Willametta.
Mariotto.
I mean, is it? Okay, so Roger Goodell pronounced it
Mariotto.
Mariotto.
Yeah.
When Marcus Mariota,
I believe it's Mariota,
was the number two pick.
Yes, and we all knew it was going to be Winston.
So you know, Roger. So we blew up Roger Goodell, and a lot of people did.
Like you have two names. Have two names that you got to remember.
Come
that are going
on,
1-2. He won the Heisman Trophy.
Now him not being able to pronounce it going into the draft.
Sure,
understood. He doesn't watch college. Doesn't care. You know, he's a busy guy. He's got a lot going on. So I understand that. That going into the draft, he may not know how to pronounce, but surely there's somebody that can say, okay, you have the names, right? Right, Raj?
Yeah.
Raj? Hello, Raj? And then he'd be like, yeah, Mariotto. And like, no, it's Mariota. Let's go over it again. Right?
Yeah.
Does that seem? That didn't happen.
One would think. Go to YouTube. Look it up.
This is much worse to me because this would be like Roger Goodell saying Tom Grady.
Yeah.
Oh, well, wait, what's his name?
The Boston mayor does this. Have you ever heard him?
Yeah.
Menino.
Yeah, but he doesn't, he just pretends
he calls Gronk Gonk.
Yeah.
He's not a sports fan, doesn't care, but he tries to pretend that he does.
He butchers everyone's name. It's great.
And maybe he just does that because.
It's a bit now.
Yeah, or he just, I don't know.
But yeah.
I give him more of a pass. No one gets less of a pass on this. Than this head of the U.S. What is it? The Women's
Soccer Federation.
The U.S. Women's Soccer Federation.
Did you find the clip, Lidge?
Oh yeah, it's right there.
Yeah. Oh
yeah. So
okay.
You can hear it in all its glory.
Golden ball, and finally but not last, winner of the Golden Boot, the tournament's top scorer, and the Golden Ball, the best player, Megan Rapinoe.
Wow!
USA! USA!
He also said torment.
Yeah, what is he? Okay, is he having a stroke?
Hold on, before you replay it, let me fix the beginning. I messed it up.
It's possible. You know, maybe he's just got he's got some issues.
This does happen where people get up there and they get nervous.
Maybe he screwed up tournament and then.
Yeah, it's possible that
And then there was a sense of panic that set in.
I will tell you what, that is more plausible than. Selling me that he truly doesn't know her name.
Rapinoe.
If he tells me, well, he's not going to tell me anything, but if he explains it by saying, well, I was really nervous, you know, of course I know how to pronounce the name. I just screwed it up. I would buy that more than I would that he really doesn't know how to pronounce her name.
But there's no pause. Cause normally like at least with Goodell's, like if listen to Goodell's again,
okay.
There is a pause where you can tell he gets to the name and is like, oh, crap.
Uh-oh.
Like, there's a moment. Because we've all been there, right? When you're, like, maybe you're emceeing a golf tournament or something and you're calling out a name. We did this at the fan golf tournament. You have to call out a winner. And you've never, you know, you see the name and you're like.
You do the best you can.
Yeah, you're like, John. And there's always a little pause. You're like, well, all right, let's give this a whirl. Roger, I think, has that. The soccer guy doesn't. He goes into it pretty confident with the Rapinoe.
Dick Poop.
Oh.
Nope.
Excuse me.
That's not it.
All right. Here's Goodell.
This is Roger.
Mariotto.
Oh, well, we don't have the full. We need the full clip.
We need the full clip. Sorry.
And finally, but not last, winner of the Golden Boot, the tournament's top scorer, and the Golden Ball, the best player, Megan Rapinoe.
The tournament's.
There's no pause. He goes right into it. If we find the whole Roger clip, there is a brief moment where because I remember when it happened, we're like, you could tell. He had a pause there and was like, crap.
Megan Rapinoe.
Yeah, he's so confident, dude.
Yeah, Rapinoe!
Megan Rapinoe! God. Does that blow you away as much as it does me?
It's pretty tough.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
She did win the Golden Boot. She's the most, I think she's the most famous female soccer player on the planet.
Unbelievable.
Kind of a big deal. You're the head of the soccer federation and you drafted Rapinoe. And here's the thing. Rapinoe is not you didn't mispronounce that. Like, I get it.
Right.
Like, with the Mariota, like there's a slight, there's a slight difference there. Rapinoe?
Well, it's your star player. Like, how do you, anyway, I'm done. I can't. I can't do that anymore.
I love that this
Megan Rapinoe.
I am
this
floored,
has you flummoxed.
Absolutely floored that that's that happened.
Well, now, hey,
even the head of soccer doesn't watch the women's team.
He gave us a great drop, though. We've got that one to hold on to forever.
And finally, but not last,
I
winner
like
of
tournament.
The Golden Boot, the Tournament, top scorer, and the Golden Ball, the best player, Megan Rapinoe.
The Tournament of
Ezekiel Elliott.
God.
There have been a variety of proposals.
Hey, it happens.
What is the matter with people?
It happens.
Yeah.
What happens if I ever had to stand up and like introduce Jared Goff at anything?
Oh, God. No kidding.
Yeah.
Golf.
I guess
golf.
Troy Aikman, though, I feel better because Aikman can't say it either.
Yeah, he's yeah. It's...
Aikman's like me. He says, he throws an L in there.
Golf.
Golf.
All right. Well, we've killed another segment.
Mariotto.
I'm sorry. I got sidetracked. Okay.
It happens.
Odds to win the college football conferences next. But first, Mike with SportsCenter.
And finally, but not last, winner of the Golden Boot, the tournament, top scorer, and the Golden Ball, the best player, Megan Rapinoe.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Get off my foot.
Okay, not quite done with this. I'm sorry, we got to go back to one other thing. And the texters are pointing out too that, and there's just so much going on.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there.
There is another line in there where he said, "Finally, but not last."
Yeah, that's, you know, look, it started off rocky with the weird tournament thing, and it made a hard left from there.
There is nothing more final. Or
nothing
more last than finally.
It's kind of, yeah.
I think finally but not last, winner of the Golden Ball tournament, top scorer, and the Golden Ball, the best player, Megan Rapinoe.
So I put him, so my official power rankings, Roger Goodell mispronouncing Mariota's name is third. That is the least egregious of the three things that we're discussing here.
Mariota.
Because again, I think he it's inexcusable that he did that, but at the same time, I get it. He, some college kid, whatever.
Sure.
Number two is the Willamette. CJ McCollum had lived here for 4 years, and he didn't know how to pronounce the Willamette.
No. Willamette.
I love that.
Four
one.
Years.
That's not.
How does that happen?
It's still my favorite one.
Because
of them all.
How long does it take? Like, I'm not from here, so when I moved here, it did take. You know, it takes, maybe a month, 2 months before you understand that it's, maybe not even that long,
sure.
Before you understand that it's not Willamette.
Willamette?
He lived here for 4 years, but I'm putting this one number one.
Megan Rapinoe.
You love it.
The most egregious of all of them.
What was this cat's name? Do we know who the head of the soccer federation is?
I do not off the top of my head.
Not gonna work here anymore?
Finally, but not last, the tournaments.
He just panicked. I think he meant to say, you know, last but not least.
There have been a variety of proposals.
Mariotto.
The tournaments. Finally, but not last.
The tournaments.
Carlos Cordero.
Carlos.
Carlos Cordero.
He's likely not going to get nowhere.
He's having the time of his life.
Here he is. What is wrong with sports?
There's nothing. All is right.
Yeah, good point. All right. In my inbox, more.
Here he is. Having the time of his life.
The tournaments.
That was Vance Joseph.
Yeah.
And he wasn't having the time of his life. No. He looked miserable over there.
Yeah. I forget what that guy's name was, but like that's his second language at least, because he was an ESPN Deportes guy.
Yeah, he goes down. It's further down on the list.
Yeah,
he was just kind of a rookie.
He was nervous.
4 years, dude. He lived here 4 years. I mean, what world do you live in? Like, you are sheltered. Well, he does travel a lot.
Exactly. Maybe he's not familiar with the what the Willamette has to offer. Maybe he's not on Damian Lillard's jet skis out there. I don't know.
So Bet Online sends us betting odds. And I swear to God, my man Jimmy Shapiro, he's throwing stuff at us like every other day.
Yeah, we're getting futures left and right now. Well,
all the stuff.
It's a slow time of the year, so this is what it, you know, we gotta talk about gambling.
He knows.
Give us something.
I have the odds on every conference. Odds to win each college football conference.
Okay.
Okay, so believe it or not, the Pac-12 is actually the closest race.
That doesn't surprise me because I honestly don't know. I think Oregon is the odds-on favorite, but Oregon is kind of unproven. Washington's been the premier program, but they lose an entire defense and their quarterback and their running back. You know, USC is a brand name, but I don't think anyone trusts USC. Utah is one that I've heard people throw out there, but again, speaking of a team you can't trust, I think there's a lot of mystery in the Pac-12.
So Oregon and Washington are tied 9-4.
Okay.
So dead even. Utah is 15-4. Washington State 17-2.
How about Washington State getting some love coming in at fourth?
Which is like, what would that be, 8.5-1?
I feel pretty good about that if you're Washington State getting a little respect.
USC is 9-1. Stanford is 20-1 along with Arizona. Arizona State and Cal are 25-1. UCLA 33-1. Colorado 80-1. And Oregon State 100-1.
I think if you gave me...
Go Beavers! How about that?
If you gave me Washington and Oregon, I'd give you the field. I think one of those two will win it.
Washington or Oregon?
You mean Washington or Oregon?
I don't know, man.
Would you take the field or would you take Washington or Oregon? Two favorites, right?
So it's who wins the Pac-12 championship game?
Who wins the Pac-12? Well, yeah, it's just who wins the Pac-12, period. So you'd have to win the...
So that's who wins the championship game.
Who wins the championship game?
Yeah, I was going to say that I might be inclined to take the field because I think the South is so wide open, the North may beat each other up.
Yeah.
But then you get into the title game. The North team should win that.
Yeah.
So I would probably have to go with Oregon Washington with much stronger sort of feelings about Washington winning it more than I would trust Oregon. I think Oregon, I don't know. I think you know how I feel about this Oregon season. I think they're going to be good. They should be good.
Yeah.
But how good is the question? And I think a lot of people are maybe expecting a little too much from them too soon in terms of, you know, new head coach,
sure,
coaching changes.
Well, there's a lot of hype around
a lot
recruits,
of turnover.
But you remember, they're recruits and it's
well, exactly
early on in the process.
My whole point, some depth issues, some turnover in the staff. We'll see. They should be good. How good? I don't know. And then you've got like, you know, Utah, Washington State, they're capable.
Yeah.
Of winning it.
Well, I just think there's a real chance. This was the case. Well, not really because Oregon fell off. But I think there's a real strong case to be made that the three best teams are all in the North. And that's Washington, Washington State, and Oregon.
Yeah, but you're talking about gambling when you put lines on it. It's like they give you value. Like, I think Utah or Washington State is better value than Oregon and Washington.
But if you put any one of
especially
those,
Oregon.
If you put any one of those three teams in the South, I would gladly take them to win the South.
And then USC at 9-1. I mean, you could always take a flyer on their talent.
Sure. And where they got the...
they've made changes.
Who'd they get? They got the poor man's Cliff Kingsbury. Who's their OC that they brought in afterwards?
Oh, yeah, that one guy.
Why can't I think of him? Former Oklahoma guy, right? That they brought in because they couldn't get Kingsbury and they got...
Graham Harrell.
Excuse me. He was the Texas Tech.
Or is it Graham Harrell? Graham Harrell.
Winner of the Golden Football.
I think it's Graham.
Yeah, it's Graham.
The Tormanents.
Kawhi Leonard. Okay, SEC is the next closest. Alabama is 1-2.
Yeah.
And then Georgia is 5-2. And then it's everybody else. Like Florida's 14-1.
Where do they put Auburn? Mainly because I want to see what Auburn. Yeah, I don't know a whole lot about Auburn going into the year. And obviously they open the season with Oregon on the neutral field.
You've got Florida and LSU 14-1, then Auburn 28-1.
Okay, so you're a long shot.
Tell you what.
You have worse odds than most of the elite teams in the Pac-12, but also remember that you're chasing, two of the three best teams in the country as opposed to the Pac-12 where the Utahs of the world are.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they're not chasing a team like that. Like, I wonder, so people are going to look at that, and you said 28-1?
Yes.
People are going to look at that and be like, oh my God, Auburn? But realize that if you had Georgia or Alabama and they were going to play in the Pac-12, how big of an underdog would the rest of the conference be to those teams, especially when you got down to the third or fourth best team in the conference? I bet those numbers would be astronomical.
Look down here at Texas A&M, 33-1. I mean, that's just a surface.
Yeah.
That, on the surface, I'm like, whoa.
There's talent there.
Because they were good last year, and Jimbo.
There's talent there in year two under Jimbo Fisher.
33-1 to win that league.
There you go.
Okay. Dadgum is right, Jimbo.
What did they do last year? What was their record last year in Jimbo's first year?
I don't claim to be no 36 ACT now.
Hey, that's football, man.
That's football, man.
Jimbo Fisher is...
The Tormanents.
Yeah, they
Sucka.
Yeah, they went in his first year. They went 9-4.
Yeah, they're good, dude.
5-3 in conference. I want to see how bad.
Do they have a quarterback?
Finally, but not last.
Look at.
Finally, but not last. Do they have a quarterback? Carlos.
I'm trying to remember who their quarterback is. Yeah, he's the big, tall, lanky kid.
Oh yeah, that guy.
He's the African American.
what is Colorado Rockies?
I can picture him. But I don't remember what his name is.
Well, he probably wouldn't be able to pronounce it right anyway. Okay, then. Well, but
I'm just saying he was like a big time. I think he was a big time recruit.
Well, then I'm all in on Texas A&M 33-1.
Last year, when
as a value play,
when he was playing last year, there was a lot of hype of, hey, this kid could end up being really, really good.
Yeah, all right. I'll let you look that up, and when we come back, we'll get to some of the other leagues. Like, it's the ACC is one team and one team only. But who's atop the Big Ten and the Big 12? We'll get to that next on The Fan.
The Tormanents, finally but not last.
There have been a variety of proposals.
Mariotto.
Willametta.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Texas A&M quarterback you were thinking of, his name is Kellen Mond.
Yes, he was a 5-star recruit, and he was ranked when he came out as the number one dual threat quarterback in the country.
And how old is he?
I think he's a junior.
It says he's a sophomore here.
Well, I think he might have redshirted, though. So
okay.
I think it's his second year. Last year, I think he's technically a junior, but that would have second year playing.
Loving my flyer on A&M 33-1 to win the SEC.
But I just remember when he was playing, he was a big deal there.
Big Ten. By the way, we're going through the odds to win each conference for the Pac-12. Is Oregon and Washington dead even at 9-4, followed by Utah 15-4 and Washington State 17-2. SEC, it's Alabama, Georgia, and everyone else.
I'm guessing Michigan, the odds on favorite.
Michigan and it's Ohio State by a nose.
Really?
Yeah, over Michigan. And then Penn State is a distant third, 9-1, Nebraska and Wisconsin 14-1, then Michigan State 18-1, and then you get into the others.
Boy, people are drinking that Scott Frost Kool-Aid there in
yeah,
Lincoln.
14-1.
I mean, that's
maybe a little overvalued.
That's
there.
Way overvalued. I mean, I know it's the second year, and I think the second year is when he popped it at Central Florida, but dude, there's a whole lot of difference playing in the Big Ten than playing in the Atlantic Coast or wherever they play. What is that? They play in the American, right? They play in the American Conference is. The ACC is the American Coast.
Yeah, and there's a difference between being good and having them back on track and winning the league.
Did you watch any Nebraska last year? They were awful.
That quarterback's all right. I think he shows some that he's young, that Adrian Martinez guy.
Yeah.
He showed some promise. I trust Scott Frost, but I don't know about to win the league.
I just think that's...
Take Ohio State.
That's very... You take Ohio State, I'll go with Michigan on that.
Michigan over Ohio State
I'll
this
take
year?
Michigan over
Michigan
Ohio State.
Never beats Ohio State.
No, but eventually the Urban Meyer fall off, you will have an impact, right? You don't lose Urban Meyer and not have it have an impact. And it may take a little bit of time, but that will start trickling down, right? You can't tell me that there's just no fall off whatsoever. And I feel like, you know what, Harbaugh is a good coach. He's been recruiting well. Finally, as a quarterback, they always play salty defense. Give me the Wolverines.
Okay, Big 12. By the way, Rutgers 300-1. We were talking about Kansas or Oregon State being 100-1.
Mm-hmm.
That's dead last in the Pac-12.
Yeah.
Rutgers is 300-1.
Oh my god!
To win the Big 12 or Big 10. In the Big 12, Kansas is only 80-1. So watch out.
I go back.
So is Rutgers going to be the worst team this year in college football?
Part of that has to do with the fact that the Big 12 is tougher than the Pac-12.
Well, and that's what I was saying. Like when you look at Auburn at 28-1, you're like, oh my God, is Auburn any good? But if Georgia or Alabama were in the Pac-12, then those teams that are third and fourth would be, you know, 30-1 odds too. So that's my question, is Rutgers really that bad, or are they Kansas, Oregon State bad? But again, instead of chasing, I'm assuming Oklahoma and chasing Washington and Oregon, you're chasing Ohio State and you're chasing Michigan. But that 300-1. Eesh.
You going to throw a sawbuck on that?
No, I'm not. Who's Rutgers coach?
Oh, God, I don't know.
Who took over that?
Wasn't it Chris Ash from Ohio State? Wasn't it their offensive coordinator who took that job?
I don't know. I'm going to look it up for you, though.
I think it is. Yeah, I think Mike's right.
It is Chris Ash. Chris.
Oh, look at you. Look at you. Sports guy. Sports guy is supposed to know all the coaches.
Megan Rapinoe.
Mariotto.
In the ACC, I didn't give you the Big 12. Who's the top of the Big 12?
Oklahoma,
4-5.
With a side of Texas. A lot of people jocking the Longhorns this year.
Texas, Oklahoma is definitely the favorite in the Big 12, but Texas is second, and they're second way ahead of everyone else.
Yeah.
Texas is 3-1. Oklahoma's 4-5 odds. Texas 3-1, and then it falls down to 12-1 with the Iowa State and West Virginia.
Where's Oklahoma State? Because they got the Beavs to start the whole thing off.
Baylor and Oklahoma State and TCU all 18-1. All right in the meaty part of the bell curve.
Not falling behind, not jumping ahead.
The ACC, Clemson.
I have seen a lot of people with Iowa State as a dark horse.
That coach is good.
Yeah, people love Iowa State.
And they have the old Oregon State quarterback, don't they? That one guy. Here we go again. This is a new bit.
What?
Yeah, they have
Colorado Rockies.
What's that guy's name? Stalling until I've
the Oregon State.
Are you sure?
You thinking about McMarion, who is at Fresno State?
No, nope, that's not who I'm thinking of here.
Well,
bro.
Matt Campbell is their coach, and
hold
I know that
on.
He's.
I'm pulling it up. God, basketball. I don't want that.
What? What Oregon? God. What former Oregon State quarterback could there be?
Here we go. 1 second, please.
Because they've got the Purdy kid. Purdy. Is their quarterback
Kyle Kemp? He was there. He's still there, but
he's not playing.
Well, he was.
Bro.
He was bro.
Bro.
He played last year. He played two seasons ago. He played 8 games, and last year I think he got hurt or benched. Because he was their quarterback.
He's not there anymore.
Wasn't Oregon State recruiting that Purdy kid, and he chose Iowa State?
Is this like a new rivalry? We got Nebraska and Oklahoma State and Iowa State picking a fight with the Big 12, the middle of the road Big 12 teams. And by the way, Matt Campbell's 1 year away from moving on to a much, much better job than Iowa State. I'm surprised he's still there.
Can you give me the ACC odds so I can see how high Syracuse is, please?
I'm guessing that they are going to be a mile behind Clemson, as is everybody.
I think Kemp is back.
Rob is still on this.
Are you still?
He's a senior.
He's not listed on their depth chart. I just looked it up.
Maybe they fired him.
Yeah.
All right. Clemson is the favorite in the ACC 1-4. Like by a million, they're a favorite.
Yeah.
Unsurprising.
Next is Miami 7-1. Okay. And Miami was down last year.
Well, they've
gotten some good recruiting now that Manny Diaz is there.
Yeah, people are loving what Manny Diaz is bringing to the table.
I can't believe Rick is already out of there.
Well, and he didn't even get fired.
I know, he left.
He says, I don't want to do this anymore.
That was such a good hire.
And remember, Manny Diaz took the job at Temple, and then he was the coach there for like 10 days and was like, no, Miami.
I forgot about that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he got hired.
Are you sure it's not Manny Diaz?
Manny.
Manny Diaz. Florida State, Syracuse, Virginia Tech are all 20-1 all in right. that league.
I'll accept that.
You know what? That's not as bad as I would have thought.
Not embarrassing for you, Mike?
No, although I think they'll be better than Florida State. I mean,
Syracuse should have had Clemson last year. They had him.
Babers.
They were right there.
Is Babers still their coach, or did
he
get
plucked?
Yeah,
he signed an extension, too.
Yeah, keep telling yourself that he's going to be the head coach. Let's play the new fun game.
I am telling myself the truth because he is the head coach.
The moment one of the elite jobs opens up, Matt Campbell or Dino Babers is going to sign on the dotted line.
No, Dino Babers is going to bring Syracuse back to relevancy forever.
Until Lincoln Riley takes an NFL head coaching job, and then they go get Dino Babers to go be the coach in Oklahoma.
That's interesting.
I'll tell you what, if I was a major program, dead serious, and
Matt Campbell,
I would roll the dice on Dino Babers.
Over Matt Campbell?
Over Matt Campbell.
So I'd take Campbell.
I love the fact that, and it pains me to say this because, you know, he comes from a coaching tree of just the douchiest of the douches.
What?
Well, he's Art Briles.
He's an Art Briles guy.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But Art Briles' offense is filthy. And see, you watch Syracuse, and I don't know why. It's the same reason I watch Syracuse, or I watch Kansas. It's your connection. So when Syracuse is on, I always tend to flip them on. I'll text back and forth with Mike. Syracuse does not have a lot of talent. And yet Syracuse schematically to me is one of the most sound football teams in the country. And he has transformed that program. And I would love to see what Dino could do with, well, let's say real resources and a real stadium and
just you wait
and real recruiting grounds and a quarterback.
Don't you know they're putting a new roof on the Carrier Dome?
And a quarterback that like About doesn't time. Get hurt every 4 minutes.
I didn't know it had a roof.
Well, it's a dome, Rob.
No, I know. I'm just saying like, I thought it was so dilapidated that it's like, anyway, it's a bad joke.
Second worst stadium I ever played in. Yeah. Right behind UTEP.
UTEP, okay.
UTEP was the worst.
The Miners.
It was the worst field condition, just the worst everything. But the Carrier Dome,
well,
it was a slight notch above, but not by much.
I mean, I don't think you can expect to go to El Paso and expect anything nice.
Rob, there were holes in the turf.
You can say the same thing about Syracuse. You can't really expect to go to Syracuse and expect a nice dome.
Kyle Kemp, by the way, graduated.
Yeah.
My apologies. that situation has been settled.
Okay.
Who did a better, who had a tougher resurrection job? Campbell at Iowa State or Babers at Syracuse?
Probably Campbell at, well.
I think that too. I think it's Iowa State. That program was a joke.
Yes, but Iowa.
Well, so was Syracuse.
Iowa over the years occasionally puts together a halfway decent roster, and they've put some guys into the NFL.
Donovan McNabb.
Well, they have Donovan McNabb, and they've got
Marvin Harrison and Dwight Freeney.
Dwight Freeney, or is it Dwight Fenney? I don't know. One of those.
Yeah, I think it's Fenney. You're right.
And Marvin Harrison.
I don't know what is a tougher
Megan Rapinoe.
What is a tougher job? I'm looking to see what Iowa State did before.
Hey, I'm going back through again. Basketball. Come on. Why?
Well,
my internet's so stupid. Yeah, I have the stupidest internet in the world.
They were certainly bad, but there were some bowl games.
I was looking at Syracuse basketball going, oh, man, they're great. Freaking won 20 games.
25-3? What?
Like, how are they not
way better?
Syracuse football had two good years under Doug Marone, and everything outside of that was...
Paul Pasqualoni got 10 wins for him.
That was the Donovan McNabb years.
Inside bowl. You know, oh, dude, they were... Pasqualoni was good there.
Yes, he was.
He never had a losing...
That's why I said back to relevancy, because we were relevant under Paul Pasqualoni.
Yeah, he never had a losing season. He was there many years, 10 years.
Those are the years that, one of those where they put the beat down on us. They beat us by like 40 points. They were pretty good.
He was there almost 13 years. Why would I say almost?
Yeah,
I think he was there 13 years. And then Greg Robinson sucked.
Oh, my God. That was who I was there for.
Doug Marone sucked. Well, Doug Marone was okay.
Not really.
8-5 twice. two bowl wins. Scott Schaefer. Boy, did you block that out of your memory?
No, I don't remember
that. Scott Schaefer years?
No, I remember Scott Schaefer.
And then Dino. Yeah, and then I'm looking way back at Syracuse. It's not good, but there are some bowl appearances in there.
Iowa State had a... So I'm looking through. I mean, it's pretty comparable because if you go back... Into the
they had one good coach in the 80s.
In the early 2000s, they went 9-3, 7-5, 7-7, 7-6. They had some 7-win seasons, and then you know they
wasn't Dan McCarney pretty good there? Didn't he win some games there?
Yeah, they won, and they had a couple of their little running backs. They had Davis. What was his first name? That little
Davis.
Tony
Troy
Davis.
Troy Davis.
They had a couple decent running
backs.
Gary Davis.
I remember that there was a Davis. I
remember everything about him.
Ty Davis.
Yeah, boy. I'm sorry. I looking at the history. Iowa State is worse.
Tougher.
It's
reformation
worse.
Project.
Way worse.
Well, it doesn't matter because both of them are going to be gone. Seriously.
Yeah, what's the point?
Dino Babers and Matt. This is the part that sucks about college football.
The tournaments
is for schools like Syracuse and for schools like Iowa State. You hire a guy that gets it right. Both of those were great hires, and immediately you pay dividends. and you're going to do everything you can, right? You're going to give him his, the extension that he wants. You're going to give him a ton of money. And even if he ends up being crappy, you can't buy him out, right? Here's the thing. Dino Babers and Matt Campbell could both suck for the next 4 years. And there's nothing you can do because you gave him extensions. You're paying him a bunch of money. You don't have the money to buy him out. And yet you try to do all that. And if they succeed and either one of those guys has another good year, they're gone. It's like you just at programs like that, you can't keep great coaches. Honestly, like the best thing you can hope for, and this sounds crappy, is you hope you find a guy that's a good, solid coach, but not like elite. And he just is a steady guy and he wins you 7 or 8 games a year.
Like Kirk Ferentz.
Yeah. You just hope that he sticks around and that he's not good enough to attract the LSUs or the Floridas or the Florida States of the world. That's like the best you can hope for.
Or you just go get you a Les Miles and win not one, not two, not three. Did you get it?
Yeah, I got it.
All right.
We'll see. Now, you instead of championships, you're talking about games, right? Not one game, not two games,
yes,
but three.
You caught on.
Three games.
All right.
Maybe
that's
halves, halves of football.
That's a little college football talk for you. Coming up next, great sports power couples. It's 401 on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.